I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
With you is the radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Nick, I figure like at some point here later in the week, I'm getting close to playing Christmas music because, or, you know, specifically the most wonderful time of year because that's what it feels like.
I've got that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, gosh, the anticipation. That's the only analogy I can think of here where it's like you're a kid and it's December 18th and I know the presents are coming next Wednesday. Well, for Bills fans, that'll be Christmas Eve with the first practice coming up. Gene Battaglia, Jeremy Newman, we welcome in a good friend of the show, Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com. Ryan, it can't get here soon enough. How have you been, bud?
Hey, I'm doing great and very excited for training camp.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to make it up, but we've got to coordinate our schedules here because we're going to be out Monday through Friday. So, but I know Matt Parrino will be up, so certainly you guys will be covering camp here between the two of you.
Oh, yeah, Matt's going to be living the dorm life. He'll be up there every day, and I'm going to try to make a few stops during the summer.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com. Let's talk about the Buffalo Bills. You pointed out something interesting, this idea that Robert Foster could be the Bills' leading receiver. And every year we're going to gravitate to the wide receiver depth chart as far as camp battles. But in a year where we don't know who the number one or the number two or the number three, or do we just say they're all co-number ones? I mean, how do you divide out this wide receiver depth chart, Ryan? And the idea that the best receiver might be Robert Foster, where do you come down on that?
Yeah, you know, I do have Robert Foster as Buffalo's number one tight end best wide receiver. And, you know, it might not happen right out of the gate because there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be looking to get the ball this year. You have John Brown on the outside with Foster. You have Cole Beasley in the slot. And here's the Brian Daboll offense where, you know, he spent a lot of time in New England, and the slot wide receiver position is very important there. So I think that Beasley is going to be given a lot of looks. There's Zay Jones, too. It's going to be interesting because last year, you know, you didn't see a lot of four wide receiver sets necessarily, but I think you're going to see that a lot more this year because Josh Allen actually has some weapons to work with. They entered 2018. Kelvin Benjamin was their number one wide receiver. Here's a guy that's still sitting out on the street, doesn't have a team in 2019. That kind of tells you all you need to know about Buffalo's depth chart from 1 year ago, where now they have a lot of talent. But late in the year, you really saw Robert Foster kind of establish himself. 11th in receiving yards over his last seven games, averaged 20 yards per catch. People kind of like to think that Robert Foster, it was just kind of like a one-trick pony with the go route, but that's not the case. This is a guy that can run a pretty decent route tree already. He has more years under Brian Daboll than anyone else on this team because of his year at Alabama. And people also forget, because his career at Alabama really didn't take off due to injuries, he was the number two wide receiver prospect in the nation at one point, just behind Treadwell. So here's a guy, five-star recruit. Maybe it didn't pan out for him in college, but he really flashed in his second opportunity with the Bills last year.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up the second opportunity thing, because as I was going, Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, when you look at last year, I don't think there's been too many rookies that have had kind of the curve that he did. Somebody that came in, and then all of a sudden in the spring practice, wait a second, he's practicing with the ones, okay. And then he gets to camp, and all of a sudden, kind of dropping down. And then all of a sudden, there's a game against the Panthers in the preseason where, yeah, you're not holding on the ball, not looking, okay, he's a rookie. Oh, he still makes the 53. That's a little bit of a surprise. And then he gets caught. Any team could have taken him at that point. Ryan, from what do you know, what changed for Robert Foster? When he gets cut, he's on the street. The season is going on. If there's another savvy GM or somebody that was paying close attention to Alabama football, at least he would have been on somebody's practice squad. He eventually gets his second chance with the Buffalo Bills, and we know, you know, things really turn out nicely at the end. And you remember that big play in the Jacksonville game. So how did the season go from the depths of the depths to him being literally one of, you can make the argument, one of the top 10 receivers last 6 weeks of the season last year in the National Football League?
You know, well, one, there was a lot of quarterback movement early on in the year. Obviously, they had Nathan Peterman in there, and obviously the deep ball isn't Peterman's specialty, so he wasn't really utilized in the games that you saw Peterman. You had a rookie quarterback in Josh Allen who, same thing like Robert Foster, you know, beginning of the year, looked pretty shaky as a quarterback, still had issues with accuracy, but when he came back from that elbow injury, he was a completely different player. So maybe it was just the fact that he needed to kind of get used to the speed of the game. I think that might have played a role. You know, the Bills saw the talent. LeSean McCoy saw the talent. At one point, he told Robert Foster, you're too talented not to make this team. And the one thing I'll point out is when he did get cut initially and he got moved to the practice squad, the one person that he really praised for helping him kind of learn the playbook, get up to speed, improve his game, is their new wide receiver coach, Chad Hall. So he's been on the coaching staff for a few years now, but now he is his wide receivers coach. I think that may have played a big role in Hall getting the promotion. And I think those two kind of work together where maybe he simplified the offense for him and put it in terms that he understood. He worked with him on the route running, whatever the case may be. I just kind of think that that time that he was off the 53-man roster, and it was less than a month, mind you, something just clicked for him. And maybe it was a chip on the shoulder thinking, I'm a talented guy. I should be on that roster. I just, you know, he failed to make a lasting impression in that first stint. But he really made up for when he was promoted that second go-around.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, our guest here in the Sports Bar. The Bills reporting 1 week from today. 1 year ago, Zay Jones, not even on the field, not physically able. And we all know the story, what happened out in Los Angeles last year when it came to Zay Jones. But Zay Jones, if we're going to, is he closer to being somebody that could develop into a number one, or is he just going to be a guy? Ryan, I don't know if we have the answer to that, but I would think year number three, this is the year we're going to find out the answer here, because there's been other receivers in NFL history. I think of Eric Moultz. Eric Moultz, year number one and year number two, not so great. Year three, holy mackerel, comes out and catching balls all over the place from Doug Flutie. That's the best case scenario if you had to make a Bills parallel. But Zay Jones, in your mind, the ceiling and the floor for Zay Jones coming up this camp and this season?
I think Zay Jones can be a very good complementary wide receiver. I don't necessarily see him as a number one wide receiver, because when I think of number one wide receivers, I think of guys that can consistently create separation. That's not necessarily something that Jones has done well throughout his 2 year career. He's gotten better at it. He bulked up this off season. You know, will that help him transition his game a little bit? You know, too early to tell now. But the one thing I will say about him is he made significant strides from year one to year two. More than doubled his reception total, went from 27 to 56 receptions. More than doubled his receiving yards, went from 316 yards to 352 yards. And then he jumped from 2 touchdowns to 7 touchdowns. So, you know, I don't think this is a guy where other teams are going to say, we've got to shut down Zay Jones. He's not going to be that guy that you game plan for. That's going to be maybe a Robert Foster. That could be a John Brown whose skill set matches up nicely with Josh Allen. But Zay Jones is a guy that can move the chains. He can make those plays in the middle of the field. You can have him in the middle of the field along with Cole Beasley, and he can get open there. He can win in some of those matchups. I just don't see him as that traditional number one outside receiver. And again, a lot of it to me comes down to his struggles with separation early on in his career.
We're talking to Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, talking about the wide receivers. You can read more of his work on the website there. Ryan, when we talk about Cole Beasley, he didn't see any action in the spring practices or kind of held back at that core muscle surgery. Is there any cause for concern here? Because in my opinion, for a receiver like that, working with a new quarterback, there's got to be a lot of sight adjustments, I would think, having that kind of chemistry, knowing where to go, because if the Bills are going to be successful on third down, that's exactly why they brought in Cole Beasley.
Yeah, I mean, it may be a little bit of concern in that area, but Beasley's been around the league for quite a while, so I'm pretty sure that he'll be up to speed in terms of the playbook, in terms of knowing what to do. And I think that he's going to be able to tell Josh Allen what he sees, what he usually does, and those two can kind of work together. The biggest thing that he might have to get used to is the velocity with which Josh Allen passes the ball, because he's the traditional slot receiver. He's a guy that's going to run those short to intermediate routes, and Allen at times last year, even on those shorter routes, he put a lot of zip on the ball, and some players were able to haul it in. Others, you saw it bounce off of their chest, bounce off their hands, and that can lead to a lot of interceptions. So there is going to be a little bit of a transition period there between the two of them working on their chemistry. But I also think that Beasley would be the kind of guy that's going to speak up and say, listen, here's how I do these things. Here's what I'm seeing from you. Don't put so much on the ball. Help me get in stride with it so I can get the yards after catch. The one thing about Beasley is he's among the best slot receivers in the NFL when it comes to getting that instant separation off the line. So he should be open. And if Allen has that reliable guy that can get open right away, especially on those early downs or on a crucial third and short situation where maybe you don't want to run the ball, I could just see Beasley having a big year in terms of targets and receptions, because this Brian Daboll offense is going to suit his skill set. It's just all about those two getting on the same page.
Ryan, we know the four that we're talking about between Beasley and Jones and Brown and Foster, but beyond that, I mean, it's pretty wide open here. I mean, who are you looking forward most to seeing, and how would you handicap the race here for 5, 6, and maybe 7? I think it caught a lot of people by surprise that the Buffalo Bills did not use a single draft pick on a wide receiver. So as far as the undrafted guys, as far as the returnees, as far as maybe somebody off the street like a Duke Williams, how do you handicap the rest of the race here at the wide receiver position?
Yeah, you know, I have them carrying 7. I just think there's a lot of talent. And you also have to kind of figure Andre Roberts as a wide receiver / return man. I think he can contribute as a wide receiver, but the Bills brought him in primarily to be a kick returner, punt returner, flip the field for Buffalo, give Josh Allen better field position. So you have your top four. You have Andre Roberts as number 5. But then, like you said, it's wide open. You know, early on in the spring practices, we heard a lot about Ray McCloud. Here's a guy that was a draft pick 1 year ago. Didn't really make much of an impact in his first go-around, but now he has that year under his belt, so maybe that helps him. We heard some things about Cam Phillips from last year to this year in terms of the coaching staff really liking him. Duke Williams is the guy that they signed in January, but the big question there is how is he going to transition to the NFL game? I mean, everything from the field to the type of players he's going against is going to be a lot different from the CFL to the NFL. It's going to be important for Duke Williams especially to show that his physicality in training camp, once the pads come on, make him a valuable asset to this team, especially maybe in the red zone. Because early on in the spring practices, Williams kind of struggled to stand out a little bit. But once you get the pads on, once he can be a little bit physical off the line, maybe he can prove himself in one of those roles. But it's wide open, you know. You've heard the coaching staff say some nice things about a guy like Victor Bolden Jr., and I don't think he's on many fans' radars right now, and he's a name you can keep an eye on. Isaiah McKenzie, I think he has a really good shot of making the roster. You know, he was used as kind of a gadget player at times last year. Obviously, I think his role would be minimized this year because they added a lot of talent there, but he has that speed. You can bring him into the lineup, especially if you want to go 5 wide receiver sets and utilize the speed that you'd have with McKenzie, with Foster, with Brown, having 3 burners like that on the field at the same time. And then they even have some intriguing undrafted free agents. David Sills V was a guy that produced very, you know, very well at West Virginia, had a lot of touchdowns, a lot of receptions. But a lot of people are saying that maybe his game doesn't transition over to the NFL. He's not a burner necessarily, but he's a big target. He's the guy that I think could be competing with Duke Williams for a role. And then you have another slot receiver in Nick Easley, a guy that I liked out of Iowa. But with Beasley on board, he might face an uphill battle, and he might be more of a traditional guy that you put on the practice squad in 2019.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, our guest. When you brought up Ray McLeod, I thought, well, and when I'm doing kind of my own projection, I'm thinking, nah, he doesn't make this team. I don't think that's a shocking cut. But, Ryan, I look at it this way, that if there are names that you recognize, people that have contributed, that's a sign that the Bills roster is actually getting better, if there's going to be really some tough decisions. Who are some of those tough decisions in your mind? You could say somebody that's been here the last couple of years, and Patrick DeMarco. Do they really need a fullback on this roster? What about Wyatt Teller? Eddie Yarborough, I think it's fair to say, seeing that he wasn't active week 17. So when you look at some of the guys who were on the roster last year, who really has to have a good job, a good training camp in order to keep their job?
I think you named a few of them right there. Patrick DeMarco right out of the gate, because, you know, obviously he's a fullback, but the Bills have a lot of talent at the running back position. They didn't really utilize DeMarco much as a fullback. Now, he was an important contributor on special teams, but the Bills might say, okay, well, maybe we carry four running backs, and it might not be the four that people think. Yeldon could be on the outside looking in with a guy like Sonoris Perry, who can contribute as a running back but also as a special team standout. A guy like Jason Kroom, I think, is on the bubble, because you have Tyler Croft, who will be returning probably close to the regular season, so that might be Kroom's saving grace. But you have him returning from a foot injury. Lee Smith is definitely going to be on this roster as the blocking tight end. And Dawson Knox, I was very high in Dawson Knox throughout the entire draft process, so I think that he could have a bigger role than some people expect in year one. Wyatt Teller, you mentioned him as well. I think he showed some real flashes last year when he was on the field. He was inconsistent, but year two, I'm hoping to see him take that leap, because I think the Bills would like to keep some of their own players, some of those own their own picks from these previous drafts. And he's going to face an uphill battle, though, because you have Quentin Spain. Here's a guy that started most of his career at left guard, and I know they're giving him some looks at right guard and OTAs, but he can come in day one and start at left guard. You have John Feliciano, who has the versatility to play guard or center. Obviously, you have Teller in that mix as well. You mentioned Yarborough. The one thing I'll say about Eddie Yarborough is he's getting looks on the left side of the defensive line, and last year he played on the right side. On the right side, he did not play well. He struggled a lot last year to the point where I thought that he was not going to make this roster. But if he's on the left-hand side, that's where he was in 2017 when he did flash, when he did show some skills, training camp, preseason, when he was brought in at times to kind of spell some of the starters on that side. So he could have a shot there, but you have Trent Murphy, you have Shaq Lawson, you have Jerry Hughes. I'm fairly confident all three of them will make the 53-man roster. But he's going to have to hold off guys like Eli Harold, Daryl Johnson, Mike Love. Mike Love is someone that I think could open up some eyes at camp. He worked a lot with Lorenzo Alexander this offseason, and obviously Alexander's a linebacker, but Alexander, when it comes to the Bills' pass rushers, he's among their best guys in terms of pass rush moves. And if Love learned anything from him going from year one to year two here, I could see him kind of stepping up and claiming that number four defensive end spot. And the last one I'd mention maybe would be at safety. Raphael Bush, here's a guy that played over 400 snaps last year on defense, was a special teams contributor, but they drafted Jaquan Johnson. Saran Neal is seeing a bigger role, I think, this year. Now, I think he'll be more of a defensive back, because you're going to see him in the big nickel packages. But that could push a guy like Raphael Bush off this roster.
We're talking to Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com. One name you did not bring up, and certainly the Bills could save a lot of money, $9 million, somewhere in that neighborhood. You know where I'm going with this.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way they would cut LeSean McCoy, would they? Or, in other words, the possibility that if the team came knocking, what would be the market right now for Shady, Ryan?
I don't think you'd get better than a day three pick for LeSean McCoy at this point. I think that the window to get anything even decent, maybe in terms of a mid-round pick, probably went last year, the trade deadline. Coming off of his worst season as a pro in terms of yards per carry, 3.2 yards per carry, I think, if anything, they're going to try to reestablish his value in the beginning of the regular season. Maybe you move him at the deadline, but there'd have to be a lot of factors in play there. Obviously, if the Bills are playing well, their other backs should have to be stepping up, or they'd be having to play pretty poorly and looking to sell at the deadline. I just think that right now the value of McCoy is almost non-existent. The only thing that could raise his value if there's a team that expects to contend in 2019 and they lose their starting running back at some point during training camp or the preseason, then desperation might come in and that draft pick, that mid-round draft pick, might come into play. But Brendan Bean all along has said LeSean McCoy is in the plans. They went out and they really upgraded their offensive line. I think that they believe that he can still play at a pretty high level, and they want to see what he can do first, at least in training camp and the preseason behind this new-look offensive line, before they rush to any kind of judgment.
Yeah, and the offensive line, we really don't have an idea of how the reps are going to be cracked out here. I mean, I've seen a bunch of different scenarios. Is that the biggest unknown, in your opinion? Who starts where and who's going to get a shot where? Because you've got a lot of different combinations, a lot of different possibilities, and quite frankly, not a lot of time to figure this out if you're Brian Daboll and the coaching staff.
Yeah, offensive line, especially with the movement in terms of who plays where, is the big thing. Deion Dawkins was seeing nothing but left tackle snaps during OTAs. I think that they're comfortable giving him that third season to kind of bounce back from a rough year two. But everything else after that, other than Mitch Morse, because he is established at center, is up for grabs. Though we already talked about some of the contenders for the left guard spot. Right guard, you have a guy like Spencer Long, who might be exactly what you want there. He struggled a lot at center last year with the Jets, played pretty well at guard, however. You have, again, Feliciano, you can play either guard spot. What if Cody Ford does not look good at tackle early on in training camp and the preseason? Do you kick him inside to guard right away? If so, there's another possibility there. And then right tackle, you're talking about Ford. You're talking about Ty Nsekhe. And I'm not necessarily saying that LaAdrian Waddle is going to contend for a starting spot, but people do need to remember that he has experience playing under Bobby Johnson. Johnson was an assistant offensive line coach for him when he was with Detroit, but those were two of his best seasons in the league. So if that kind of carries over in terms of the terminology, what the type of play that Johnson's looking for from his offensive line, maybe Waddle could turn some heads and earn a spot at least as their swing tackle. Obviously, in that scenario, we would have Ford, though, being kicked inside the guard.
If you are a Bills fan, I'm sure the last 20 minutes has gotten your heart racing here, talking about some of the things you could look for camp here as football is around the corner. One of our experts here, Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, will be coming into town here as soon as next week. Ryan, always appreciate your time. Between now and camp, what are you working on for the site people can look forward to?
You know, we'll probably throw out at least one more 53-man roster projection before the start of camp. Matt is doing a lot of different roster breakdowns, position-by-position looks. And then I've been doing a little bit of these AFC East breakdowns in terms of breakout players, Pro Bowl players. So there'll probably be a few more pieces there before the start of training camp.
Ryan, appreciate the time, and have a safe trip to Rochester here a little over a week. Ryan, thanks so much.
Hey, thanks as always.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com. If you missed that, you can listen to it later on the radio.com app, ESPNRochester.com as well.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.